to be very well observing, you might come to the conclusion that I am one of the most dangerous wild animals in human form. These are therefore vast, wrong perceptions, erroneous perceptions. Seeing is believing is wrong. Inability to achieve concentration. What is concentration? May I know? What is concentration? What is concentration? If you take a magnifying glass, hold it between sun and yourself, it will burn the paper, it will burn your skin. Why? Because the rays of the sun are concentrated. Have you concentrated directly the rays of the sun? No. Has the sun concentrated all the rays for you? No. There is one thing in between you and the sun, and that is the magnifying glass. So what is between you and concentration? What is between you and concentration?
Awareness.
All the about this concentration. There must be a kind of a magnifying glass. There should be a kind of a magnifying glass between myself and the sun. The sun is divine segment. So what is the magnifying glass? Yoga Vyas. Sun is divine segment. I am here, I am. And instead of the magnifying glass, I must have yoga vyas. Then there will be concentration. And if after having concentration, you tell me that you have achieved dharma, I will say, get out. Don't talk nonsense. So what is dharma? Let us understand what we are going to achieve. Otherwise, how shall we achieve what we want to achieve? We have understood concentration. Okay? That between my dhyan segment and myself, there will be yoga vyasa as my magnifying glass. But when you have achieved concentration and come to me and say, I have reached the state of dharma, I will tell you to get out and don't be foolish. Learn again. What is the difference between concentration and dharma? You must learn this thing. Then what is concentration? Then what is dharma? Then what is dharma? No? No comment? Okay, now. And let me say something. concentration is a very high state of human brain. Concentration is a very high state of human brain. It is understood properly, then don't ask me questions again, then I go further. Concentration is a very high state of the human brain. In Dharma, we leave the human brain beside ourselves. In Dharma, we leave the human brain in the waste paper basket. Am I clear? In Dharma, we leave the human brain in the waste paper basket. Try to understand, I am not joking. Try to understand my words. Concentration is not only very high state, but it's the highest state of the human brain achievement. In Dharma, we put the human brain in a waste paper basket. At least this much you have heard me or not? The greatest obstacle in yoga abhyasa is human brain. If you want yoga abhyasa to be the magnifying glass between sun and yourself, between your divine fragment and yourself, then brain is a nuisance and an obstacle in yoga abhyasa. Understand? Why? Because it has got put together, it has gathered over the years some nonsense that it believes as knowledge. And this very knowledge is not required in yoga abhyasa. So the difference between concentration and dharma is you achieve concentration through the magnifying glass of your brain. In dharma, you achieve an equivalent concentration on a higher plane when you give up your little stupid brain. Not yours, even mine included. You understand me? That yoga abhyasa, that type of yoga abhyasa, will take you to the stage of dharma. Did you hear? Somebody said, that means you come in contact with the infinite mind. If brain is to be put in a waste paper basket, divine mind should be put in a dustbin. I am not joking. I am telling you. We are talking about dharma. Then you have to put the human brain into waste paper basket and divine mind into a dustbin. Because proper yoga abhyasa needs no knowledge. When all knowledge is set aside, the wisdom of yoga begins. And concentration is nothing but an aspect of brain and mind. And that aspect must be totally set aside. That is why scholars have no hope for yoga abhyasa. Scholars have no hope to understand yoga sutra. Because the definition of concentration will be a different definition. That the translation of dharana will be a different translation. If you agree with me and come along with me with the full conviction that brain must be put into the waste paper basket and infinite mind must be thrown into the dustbin, we can proceed ahead. Then we will take the first step to dharana. And from dharana to dhyana, a few million light years. From dharana to dhyana is a few million light years. And from dhyana to samadhi is some distant galaxy not to be seen from our telescope. And mukti, for the next coming 1500 lives, if we forget better. Let us come to grass tag. All our stupid reading and hearing, we must set aside. Oh, this must be my last birth now. What they are meaning, I don't know. Mukti, samadhi, oh God, and daily meditation, 1 hour, oh God, I don't understand all this. If they equate meditation with dhyana, I can't understand. Why? When you talk about dharana, dhyana, put aside samadhi, only dharana, dhyana, you have to work without your brain and mind. No? Agree or disagree? You have to work without your brain and mind. And the period of that work is 1 moment, because you can't last longer than that. But if for a moment your mind and your brain is set aside, you will get some idea of dharana. And if that idea of dharana can persist for a few more seconds, 2-3 seconds more, it is dharana. Because when you set aside your brain and your mind, even the infinite divine mind, you are stepping into the cosmic world. You are stepping into the cosmic world where 1 moment that we know is an eternity. So if you can for a moment set aside your brain and your mind in the cosmic world for an eternity, you are one with your divine segment. You get my point? A little before this, I told you that if you can sit up all night and tears can drop from your eyes, you will be preparing yourself for that wonderful moment. Then God and nature will allow you to throw your mind and your brain aside for a moment. And in that super moment, you will be what you are in reality, your divine self. You will never be the same person again at that moment and from that moment. And your only longing to be would be to see once again your own self. There is no darshan. You will want to see your own self again. So what does it say? Read very carefully now. Inability to achieve concentration. And the most important, failure to hold the meditative attitude, one-pointedness, when achieved. If you achieve that one super moment, and then you fail, after knowing that reality, there is no hope for you. Because after seeing that reality for a moment, you should never fail. So keep up with that one-pointedness. Here you are not talking about ordinary concentration or dharana. You are talking about the super moment of yoga abhyasa. The ultimate gift of yoga abhyasa is that super moment. When for a moment your brain sees it, your mind sees it, you enter the cosmic world for a moment. Where, except for reality, there is nothing. Once having a glimpse of that cosmic world, I don't think any man will ever fail to maintain that one-pointedness again and again. This is what it means. And for such a moment, all these are obstacles that he has enumerated here. Pain, despair, misplaced bodily activity, and wrong direction of control of life current are the results of the obstacles in the lower psychic nature. You have seen the total psychic nature. Now he differentiates between lower psychic nature and upper psychic or superior psychic nature. The physical, the astral, the mental system make a total psychic nature, and the lower psychic nature deals with human physical body and brain. This is the lower psychic nature. The middle psychic nature is the astral body and mana. The higher psychic nature is the mental body and buddhi. Nevertheless, whether lower or higher, it cannot sustain itself alone. But since we are today in this body, in this physical body, with our brain, today, not knowing any other aspect of the psychic nature, we are talking about this physical body and this physical brain as a psychic nature. So he is talking about pain, despair, misplaced bodily activity, wrong direction of control of life currents are the results of the obstacle in the lower psychic nature. Pain. Then any machine, for a lady of the house, her sewing machine makes a noise, key, key, it's time to put in oil somewhere. Pain is a signal that something is wanting. Pain in your body means it's a signal that something is wanting. Whether that pain is in the heart, whether that pain is in your bone, whether that pain is in your brain, the signal is pain. The signal is pain. And I don't think a human being passes one day without getting at least one signal of pain per day. That means every day there is something wrong somewhere. Right? The second word is despair. What is the normal meaning of despair? What is the normal meaning of despair?
Loss of hope.
Correct statement. Loss of hope. That I will never attain yoga abhyasa. That is despair. That is true despair. Any other loss of hope is not despair. The only despair, word despair means I shall not be able to achieve yoga abhyasa. That is despair. And that will bring pain. That will bring displaced bodily activity. That will bring wrong direction or control of life, wrong breathing. And if I talk about three-step rhythmic breathing, you start laughing. But these are the results. These are the results of obstacles in the psychic nature. The purpose, the use of yoga abhyasa is to remove all obstacles from the entire psychic nature. And if it is not done, despair is the best result. And if you do not feel despair in this direction, you are blind to yoga abhyasa. The scholars will give the meaning of despair in some other language. There is no other language except the yoga language. To overcome the obstacles and the accompaniment, intense application of the will to some one truth or principle is required. There are many thoughts here put together. To overcome the obstacles and the accompaniment, the obstacles have been enumerated here in 130 and the results have been shown in 131. They are known as accompaniment. So, to overcome the obstacles and the accompaniment, intense application to some one truth is required. Intense application to someone's truth is required. Om Satyam Param Dhimahi. What is the Supreme Truth? To that Supreme Truth, intense application has to be put in. You understand? To the Supreme Truth, intense application is required. And when you put in intense application, die Christ. Because it does not wish to see the things it is seeing. The ears cry because they don't want to hear the things they hear. Your tongue cries because it doesn't want to speak the things it has been speaking. Your brain cries because it doesn't want to understand the things that it has been trying to understand. Understand? When that state is reached, one of total despair, then you come here, not before that. And that requires intense application, intense application. I have told you before, and I repeat it again, that one outgoing breath does not guarantee another incoming breath. One outgoing breath does not guarantee the next incoming breath. If you have not done something with your outgoing breath, you don't know whether you will take the next incoming breath. You have no time to postpone what you are trying to do to the next breath. Not tomorrow, tomorrow is too far away. You will be taking 29,000 breaths before tomorrow. And the next breath is not guaranteed. When you will be wanting to go along the yoga vyas path, you will check yourself with this enthusiasm that the next breath is not guaranteed. That is intense application. You work as if you have not got the next breath. That is intense application, not other. And what is truth? God is truth. The divine segment is truth. What are the truths you want? The religious books are not truth. They are faith. All religions are described as faith because you believe them on faith. Because the religion talks about something after death. And neither who talks nor who hears knows what is after death. So all religions are faith which you accept on faith. They are not truth. All philosophy is not truth. The nearest truth to you is your own divine self, your divine fragment. And to know that, there must be intense application. And that application must realize that the next breath may be too late. Don't decide that in this Christmas vacation I'll do it. It might not begin for you from tomorrow. The intense application is here and now. And truth is within you. Your divine segment. There is no other truth. No other truth. Psalm 33. The peace of the chitta, thinking instrument, can be brought about through the practice of sympathy, tenderness, steadiness of purpose, and dispassion in regard to pleasure or pain, and towards all forms of good and evil. Chitta. Chitti. The universal divine mind is chitti. Flowing through you is chitta. the basic quality of infinite divine mind, the basic quality of citta, the basic quality of your brain is never to be at peace. The basic quality is never to be at peace. That is the basic quality. If your brain doesn't move like this, always 24 hours, 65 days. If the brain fluidly doesn't move like this, all 24 hours and 365 days, it is not brain, it is not mind. It knows no peace. If it studies, you die. That is the peace of the grave. Between the peace of the grave and the unsteadiness of your mind, find the middle way. And hear me? Where do you find peace then?
In acceptance.
In acceptance. In good faith. Then? I don't understand what is acceptance.
We accept what is.
Meaning? This.
Yeah, we accept.
Then there is no peace. That is why I am asking you. Between the peace of the grave and the unsteadiness of your brain and mind, what is the way out? Now you are fooling me. You are giving me my own answer. You are right, yeah. How clever they are. Between the peace of the grave and the unsteadiness of the brain and mind, stands your own divine fragment, eternally peaceful and our search is not only to cognize but to have an exact knowledge of the spiritual man. He stands always peaceful because he has very wisely put the brain and mind into the waste paper basket. When you put therefore your brain and mind into the waste paper basket, you need not be afraid about the peace of the grave and you will live with the utmost calm of the divine fragment. You need not accept anything out of frustration. That if this is so, well this is so. No! You are not the psychic nature. You are not the physical body and brain. Your absolute definition is divine fragment. And the very aspect of divine fragment is eternal calm. That is not ruffled by anything. As Gita says, wind riseth not, water drencheth it not. You understand? Fire burns it not. It stands eternal calm untouched. As long as there is brain and mind, by no amount of yoga abhyasa will you ever know what peace is. Therefore, when you go along yoga abhyasa, the only thing you have to do, and the way you succeed to do, that is to put your brain and mind into the waste paper basket, you will have peace. Why? As I am talking to you, your mind is searching for something equivalent where you are read or heard. You can't escape that. Either you try to know that, to think I am right, or to think that that is contradictory. But your brain and mind is working. Your ears are hearing me. That means you are making only use of your brain and mind. That which needs the waste paper basket. Understand? So not for a fraction of a moment you want to get rid of your dear brain. The only beautiful organ God has given you that will take you to hell. The only organ that will take you to hell. The hell of superfluous knowledge. Not that hell from there. The hell of superfluous knowledge. And then that brain will convince you, this is the truth. And that's an end of everything. And the truth will never be known. Real truth then will never be known. That is why the peace, here the word peace is even not used, the calm of the spiritual divine fragment that is never disturbed by anything will give you the peace you want. And that, oh God, do you know in the Bible when Jesus said, my peace I give unto you? He had become one with his divine fragment. He was walking in human form as his own divine fragment. And therefore he had plenty of peace to distribute. So he said, I give my peace unto you. Because he had nothing else to give except peace. And divine fragment has that peace, that calm, that even the cross could not disturb. You get my point now? There was no philosophy on the cross. There was no religion on the cross. There was peace and calm on the cross. Because as divine fragment, he knew nothing else but peace and calm. That is what is the truth, that is what we have to achieve, and nothing else. These are difficulty producing hindrances. Avidya, sense of personality, desire, hate, and the sense of attachment. These are difficulty producing hindrances. And the first is? M.A.P.H.D. The first is M.A.P.H.D. The brain, the mind. That is your greatest avidya. The greatest avidya is your brain and mind, your knowledge that you have accumulated, that you can write behind your name and tell the world how much foolish I am. No? This is our vision. To believe the superfluous as real and not to believe the real as real is our vision. Dirt is very beautiful thing, filth. It is filth. Dirt is a very useful item. in the universe. If there is no dust, we can't see. Because dust particles reflect light. Dust or dust? It is filth. And the more you accumulate this knowledge, the more avidya is surrounding you. And from that fortress of avidya, then you can't escape yourself because you are made a prisoner in that fortress yourself. So the first thing he calls here is avidya, the knowledge that you gather in schools and colleges. That is avidya. A farmer is not ignorant. A sweeper is not ignorant. A professor is. He is ignorant. Farmer is not ignorant. He knows how to get thousands of corn from one corn. But the professor is really ignorant. Because the first thing, he thinks he knows so much. I am ignorant because I think I know so much that I can teach you something. This is ignorance. This is ignorance. Knowledge is ignorance. Knowledge prevents truth. Why? Because there is so much gathered in here that there is always a doubt. Is this truth? No, this can be truth. There is always doubt. And as long as there is doubt, there is neither mental peace nor any hope of finding truth. An ignorant man is ignorant and he has no doubt. He knows he is ignorant, finished. There is an end to it. And he has no reason to doubt anything. But the man who is learned, much learned, there is a lot of doubt in his mind. Because he has himself learned so many contradictory things that he does not know whatever he knows is true. So avidya is collection of unwanted knowledge. Will science take you to truth? Will history take you to truth? Will geography take you to truth? What will take you to truth? When you give up all your accumulated knowledge. The first vidya is collected knowledge. Only man wants to grow from outside in. He wants to grow in knowledge from outside in. He gathers from outside and puts it in. A flower grows from inside outside. A tree grows from inside outside. The corn grows from inside outside. The stupid human brain wants to grow from outside inside. It is never possible. So knowledge is avidya. It is not ignorance. It is avidya is knowledge. Unwanted knowledge. These are difficulty producing hindrances. Avidya. The sense of personality. The sense of personality. Dr. Pandit Sharma Chowk. Dr. Modi Mars. The personality doesn't end here. It's 6 feet. It wants some miles of territory on earth. Sense of personality. Even if I am dead, let there be something left there. The sense of personality. He doesn't die after my death, you know. That is a sense of personality.